Hey, y'all, and welcome to another edition of the Nolcast Instant Reaction Podcast. This is Bud Elliott, your host. As always, the Nolcast Instant Reaction Podcast is brought to you by Louisiana Hot Sauce and the fine folks at For the Table Restaurant Group, including Madison Social, Centrale, and Township, where I was able to hit up today this morning. Had a great time over there in town to watch the Noles, unfortunately, lose to the Hurricanes 24-20. If you're new to this, I did not edit the Instant Reaction Podcast. I recorded as soon as I can after the game. We just got done speaking with Jimbo Fisher and the very limited players that Florida State made available to us, unfortunately. And so we go straight to tape, and I put it on the website and put it out on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Play Music, wherever you want to listen to us. So keep that in mind. If I screw up, sometimes I'll just go back and say something again. Or I don't typically take the time to edit this because we just want to get it out to you as fast as possible. It's also shorter. I try not to go into quite as much detail at times on the instant because I want to go back and watch the replay and make sure that what I thought I saw is exactly what I saw. But, you know, I think maybe we start big picture. Two things. Number one, I don't think Florida State played all that badly. I mean, there were some mistakes, clearly. Not new, just mistakes they've been making for a while now. And they had a real shot to win this game. I mean, I think in some ways that they outplayed Miami, in some ways they didn't. They certainly outgained them. I mean, 5.7 to 4.6 is pretty solid. I mean, put up 400 yards on Miami's defense, which is, I think, a pretty good defense. Overcame some adversity with true freshman James Blackman there. And overall, I thought, look, I predicted 20-17 Noles, which was the score until the final second of the game when Miami scored that touchdown. Florida State played Miami to within a field goal. Those teams are, I think, fairly evenly matched. And, you know, I think that's about as good of an effort as you can ask from a team that is, you know, that is this team. And by that, I mean from these players in this circumstance, coached by these coaches. It's a coaching staff just continues to not get the job done. And that's disappointing. But in big picture, I think we saw some encouraging things tonight. And we'll talk about that. I just got done speaking with Jimbo Fisher in the press conference, and I'm not sure what he can say. You know, assuming that he realizes that he has got to make some staff changes, multiple staff changes, he can't exactly go and say, guess what, guys, I want to tell you all at the press conference here. I hear the fans on this. I hear the analysts on this, and I have eyeballs too, and we're going to make some serious changes at the end of the season. No, he can't do that. Because if that happens, the coaches who know they're probably going to get fired are going to check out. And that's not going to work out very well for anybody. So just something to think about there. There's not a whole lot he can say. He has to say the stuff that kind of drives fan nuts. That, look, just got to go back, got to coach them a little better. It's on me. No excuses. Blah, 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 blah. It's just, you know, kind of diarrhea of the mouth, run on coach speak, and it happens. But I do think that if you look bigger picture, is it better for Florida State that they lost this game? I don't know. I think you can make an argument that it might be just simply because it might help put the nail in the coffin on some of the coaching changes that I think are needed. I think if you're listening to this, you're probably pretty tired of seeing a team with as much talent play this way. Now, you can also argue, I think, on the flip side, that maybe this is not a good thing for recruiting, that this is not a good thing for the program, and I can totally see that argument as well. But at this point, season's over. And it's the second year in a row that you get to very early October, and your year's basically done. You know, I mean, could you still win the ACC? Yeah, technically, I guess. If you can upset Clemson at their place, you can beat Louisville, and then somehow NC State and someone else also has two losses, and you win some kind of weird three-headed tiebreaker type scenario. But no, the season's pretty much done. You know, Jimbo, it's never good when a coach has to say, well, we can play for pride. We can play Florida State football. Because in saying that, those things are true. But the problem is what you don't get to say. You don't get to say, we're still playing for a national championship. We're still playing to get to the playoffs. We're still playing to win the conference. We're still playing to win our division. Can't say any of those things now. Now, if you were actually being truthful about what the actual remaining goal might be, it might be, we're trying to make a bowl game. And I got to tell you, that's not good. I walked around the stadium today. Those tailgate lots for a lot of those big money boosters were empty. Lot 1 at 1105, totally empty. Lot 15 didn't have any people in it. The IM fields were okay, but they weren't full. People are tired of this. And they vote with their cars on whether they decide to drive up or not. And they vote with their wallets. And the crowd tonight was good, but it wasn't great. It wasn't a typical Florida State Miami crowd. A lot less FSU fans than you normally see. A lot of people unloading their tickets for very cheap online. I mean, you got $115 face value tickets going for $20. And some of those went unsold, and Miami fans gobbled up some of them. The tough thing now is what do you do for the next 8 weeks? You got to play the games. You got to try to develop the kids. But if you're a fan, you got to be pretty annoyed that this is the second year in a row where you're out of it by early October. And yes, I totally understand that a lot of people made plans for this weekend back when it was in the bye week. You had people getting married. You had people who were going to concerts and festivals and all. I totally get it. That's very understandable, and that's certainly part of the reason why maybe the crowd wasn't great. But I think overall there is an issue here where people are kind of tired of watching this. I do think there's some positives, though. Look, this program still has a lot of good players. I don't know there's a whole lot of positives from the coaching. I want to start with the number one positive tonight, I think, which is the offensive line. Offensive line opened up holes all night, and they gave James Blackman a lot of time. And a lot of times Blackman didn't do much with it, and he held the ball for even longer than they gave him. But that was a night-and-day performance, in my opinion, from what we saw against Wake Forest. And look, Miami's defensive line is much better than Wake Forest. So good job, offensive line. Good job getting them coached up, helping them make fewer mental errors. Look, they're going to get beat sometimes physically. I watched Landon Dickerson tonight a couple times, and his right ankle's clearly bothered him. Right ankle or left ankle? It's one of the ankles. He's got it taped up something fierce. He can't get to some of these cutoff blocks. You know, he's just physically not able to do it right now with what the ankle is. And Eberle's just not real big. Maybe that's a reflection on your strength conditioning program. Maybe it's not. I know some people think it is. I'm not sure. They're going to get beat physically sometimes, but I do think tonight they did a better job of having fewer mental errors, it looked like, and that was great. Florida State, I thought the running backs were very good. I mean, you had, 31 carries from running backs for 212 yards? That's really nice. I mean, a lot of them were chunk plays, certainly, and that's tough at times. Trying to pull this up here. Florida State had a lot of chunk plays. I think they had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 runs of 10 plus yards. They had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 passes of 15 plus. You know, on the day, 16 chunk plays. If you divide it, it's 10 and 15. That was pretty solid. You know, Cam Akers, we saw him with some better patience, with some better vision, and with some better discipline, quite frankly, hitting the right hole. And we saw Jacquez Patrick do some nice things as well and play through an injury and come back out. But, you know, this team, they're fighting through some stuff. You got receivers who are banged up. Obviously, Keith Gavin, I thought it was a knee initially, but I watching him walk off, it looked painful for his foot to even touch the ground. So I'm wondering if it's an ankle. Man, they're not getting a whole lot out of the receivers, and they're banged up. And Keith Gavin catches what should be the winning touchdown for you, and your true freshman quarterback, I think, kind of grew up a little bit and made some better throws. I mean, he was absolutely terrible for about the first three quarters, and a lot of it was on him. He was just missing stuff. He wasn't settling down. He wasn't seeing what he needed to see. And it comes back, and he ends up 17 of 28 for 203, two touchdowns, two picks. Quarterback rating of 130. Led the team on two pretty good drives there in the second half for scores, and just couldn't wasn't enough. They started using Tate some. You know, there were positives to take away from the offense. They still only scored 20 points. Part of that is just because Jimbo Fisher squandered two opportunities early on. This is college football. You're not going to win a game 10-3. Even the worst college offenses put up 20 or 30 points, typically, like if you have decent talent, which Florida State certainly does. You can't decide to punt from the 37 and the 38 of your opponent. When you get there and you have like a 3rd and 6 or 3rd and 7, you absolutely have, and I know that Gavin dropped one of the passes, I get it, but you really, really have to play for 4-down territory there. On 3rd and 7, try a run. You know? Maybe it pops. Maybe it only gets 3 or 4, and then you have real ability to run some play action on 4th down if you need to. Punting the ball in that situation, which I think Florida State netted maybe 30 yards of field position between the two of them, come on. That's not getting it done. That's not good coaching. Maybe 40 yards of field position. Still, it's not. Don't punt inside the opponent's 40. Your margin for error is very small. Your potential payoff is very small, and your what you're throwing away is quite significant. So that's not good. Can't squander drives like that. I don't know how many drives they had. Looking here, they kind of just gave up on two of them, and we want to focus on the end of the game, and I'm going to get there in a second. Florida State had 13 drives. You can't give away two of those. That's not good at all. I'll go back. I'll watch the replay. I'm sure I'll have some additional thoughts on how some guys played. I really like the running backs. I thought that they did some good things with Blackman. Maybe it would have run him a little bit more if possible. I know he had a good zone read early on in the game. You want to continue to make that part of your offense. Most of the good college ball offenses do that. 20 points is oftentimes not enough to win the game. But I thought it would be enough to win the game. Both when we were doing the show prediction, where I went 20-17, and also sitting up there in the press box, I thought, well, I think they got a good shot at this, but you know, Miami may be able to tie it. I didn't think Miami was going to be able to drive the ball down the field with a minute left and score a touchdown. But maybe I should have, because this has happened far too often under Charles Kelly's defense. And it's just not acceptable. You can't have this much defensive talent and play well for most of the game. Look, they played well for most of the game. They really did. They got a lot of stops. They got a lot of stops where the offense didn't do a damn thing. With the ball and with the field position they gave him. But then you got these two collapses, and it's hard for people to trust after that. It's real hard. I mean, you got Miami's last two drives. And 75 yards. 15 plays, 150 yards on Miami's final two drives. 6 plays, 75. 9 plays, 75. 10 yards a play? That's horrible. And it's, you know, I don't know exactly what it is. I think that right now you're probably screaming at your radio and saying it's leaving Kyle Myers on Braxton Berrios all the time. And yeah, there's probably something to that. That's a hard assignment for him. You know, it's maybe being a little too predictable in how you're pressuring the quarterback there on his final two drives. I could see that. There's a play there where McFadden tries, you know, is way too early in his cowboy blitz coming off the corner, and he looks back at the coaches because he realizes that Miami's probably seen him, and he's kind of caught in no man's land. And it looks like they're telling him go, 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 just still go. And so he does, and then Miami has time and they all see it and they block it and they hit it for a huge play. Can you check out of that? Can you not? Sometimes it's easy, sometimes it's not. But I do think maybe they're a little predictable in how they decided the pressure there. And they didn't get a whole lot of pressure on those final couple drives. Just not enough. Not enough. And no point in screaming about it. We've already talked about this. We talked about poor situational football against NC State. We talked about it when you said, hey, there's got to be changes made. This is not working. We talked about it last year when you give up a school record number of points against Louisville. We talked about it last year when you had players openly loafing on the field as NC State marched, or as North Carolina marched for their game-winning drive. You know, we probably should have talked about it more last year when Miami scored to tie the game, except they didn't because they had the extra point blocked. But the defense gave that up too. And we probably should talk about some of the poor situational play last week that allowed Wake to have a shot to score and to, you know, to tie Florida State there at the end. I don't want to do this every week. I feel like I'm doing the same show every week. I'm just not going to sit here and yell and scream and, hey, this coach needs to be fired, and this one does. You know, I've already got sort of – I've already said those things. This is just difficult because, you know, like Jimbo Fisher was asked, do you have a message to the fans? And he said, keep cheering. I think the ones that will show up will, but I'm not sure people are going to show up the rest of these games. I mean, the Louisville game, there's a shot because it'll be nice weather, and because I think a lot of people planned that as one of their weekends that they were going to go see. And there will be some people at Parents Weekend, and maybe they can have, like, every band in the panhandle come for free a day or something. But there's going to be some really bad crowds, and I think that's probably going to drive home a point that this program really needs some changes. It's yet another three-loss season, and if you're paying a guy $5.5 million, $6 million a year, whatever Jimbo's making now, he's got to understand that. And I know there's no real pressure on him because his contract is fully guaranteed, but people don't donate big money to watch a team lose three times. People don't donate big money, get all fired up about the season, and lie to themselves and say, hey, this is going to be different this year. You know, this really is. Last year was kind of an aberration. All the talent's coming back. I'm all in again. I'm going to re-up that Golden Chief booster membership. I'm going to be a Platinum Chief. Yeah, you know what? Hey, I don't make a lot of money, but I'm going to still be a Silver Chief. I'm not sure how well that goes come the 2018 renewal when you get that phone call, if real changes aren't made to this coaching staff and this program. Because next year's team might not be as talented. And that's tough. And if it's not as talented, you got to find a way to make up for that on the field. And that could be by bringing in some different coaches. This is just, it's frustrating when you watch this. They make a lot of the same mistakes over and over, and they just make too many mental errors, like the signs of poor coaching. It's not good enough. You know, linebacker doesn't sink to depth. Corner plays inside leverage when he should be playing outside leverage. Maybe not realizing that Miami's picking on a certain personnel matchup for the majority of the two long drives that they had in the game for touchdowns, or perhaps realizing it and not doing enough to adjust to it. I do think, though, if you're Jimbo, you have to look at this and say, man, my offense, and I think he very much considers it his offense. I think he's going to look at it and say, they scored game-winning touchdowns how many times now that Charles Kelly's defense has allowed to let up? And I'm not saying the offense played well. It had some good moments. It also had some very frustrating moments and some moments that are ineffective. But I thought Jimbo had a better plan tonight than he did against Wake Forest. And they were also playing a much better team. They just came up short. And the difficult thing is they had a chance to win it. They couldn't do it. So I don't know what fans expect Jimbo to say. I mean, I think there's a certain aspect here to where he can avoid saying things that really anger them. You know, like congratulations to Florida State as well for how well they played. That's not what people want to hear. That's not what boosters and donors and fans and supporters of the program want to hear. No. They want to hear, that's disappointing. That's not Florida State football. That's not the standard we want to play up to. And they don't want to hear if the message to the fans, you know, Jimbo, do you have a message to the fans? Yeah, keep cheering. But as far as the more detailed stuff, he's not going to answer that. He's not going to dine these guys out and say, yeah, I got to fire about half these guys next year or, you know, come in the offseason. Because they're going to quit. Those guys will quit on him. Right now, he's got to make sure that, or he's got to really hope that the team doesn't quit on him. Because we already saw that they kind of would last year until they signed those promise notes. Are they going to do it again? We'll see. I don't think so. At least not as a group. I'm sure you'll have some guys who don't care as much anymore now that all the goals are dashed, except for perhaps making a bowl game, which they might need to reschedule the Louisiana Monroe game for. But tough times ahead until perhaps some changes can be made, and no guarantee those will work out. Just if something's not working, what's the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. We'll talk to you all again on Tuesday morning. Usually record late Sunday night. Some final stats here. Miami, 4.6 yards a play, according to the stat sheet that we got. You know, that's not that bad overall of a defensive effort. You're going to focus on the end of the game because it's, again, poor situational football, right? Not good enough there. 5.7 a play for Florida State. I like that a lot. Now, what's concerning on the flip side of that? 5-15 on third downs. A lot of chunk plays, which we thought they needed to get. Awesome job there getting those. Maybe not consistent enough on some of the shorter stuff to keep drives alive. But still, it was a decent performance. Florida State should be better than decent. I'll talk to you on Tuesday.